Hi, everyone. Dave Spadaro here. Welcome to Eagles Live on this Monday, the day after Christmas. We hope you all had a great holiday weekend and enjoying your holiday times here. The Eagles coming off a big win in Dallas. A bittersweet feeling here at the NovaCare Complex. Three straight wins, 7-8 now, but no playoffs in 2011 for the Eagles. So we've got a lot to talk about now and then in the coming days and weeks as the Eagles look to finish the season strong against the Washington Redskins and then move into the offseason far earlier than anyone expected to be talking about way back in late July when training camp began and the Eagles went on that free agent frenzy. Andy Reid has his press conference at 4 o'clock. He'll meet the media across the hallway. Then he'll come into our studio here. And we want to hear from you as well, 215-339-6709. Lots to talk about. Because the Eagles, it's been disappointing, no question about it. It's you get the 4-8 and all seems lost, and then you rip off a couple of wins and you start to think, hey, maybe, just maybe, got something special in the offing. Didn't happen for the Eagles as the New York Jets failed to capitalize on a 7-0 lead at MetLife Stadium and fell to the Giants prior to the conclusion of the Eagles-Cowboys game. Actually, the game's still in doubt until really late in the first quarter. Eagles already had a 7-0 lead over the Cowboys, and just an awful performance from the Jets. But, hey, it's not the Jets' fault that the Eagles didn't make the playoffs. The Eagles didn't make the playoffs because they started the season too slowly. Turnovers, mistakes, blown leads, players not performing to their capability, coaches not performing to their capability. And as a result, the Eagles, a dispirited group after that loss to Seattle. But since that time, the Eagles have found their rhythm, and now you look at it and you think, well, how many changes need to be made? And how legitimate is this three-game winning streak? And I have my feelings. I've written them here over the last few days. But you guys will make your own decisions, I'm sure. Let's take some phone calls now, starting in California with Gary. Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good afternoon. How are you, Gary?
Pretty good.
Good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to know that first-time caller. And,
thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I sit in the office watching the show 2 hours.
You are the man. I hope your bosses don't know that.
I don't know.
Good.
But I always want to ask, the last three games haven't been televised in my area. What has the defense been doing different?
Well, the scheme has definitely been improved. And that's, Gary, one of the reasons, and we'll talk about this here, one of the reasons I'm excited for the advancements that Juan Castillo has made. I cannot deceive, my eyes do not deceive me here. I mean, they are changing up the scheme. They are blitzing a lot more. The players seem so much more confident of where they're supposed to be, and they're getting to the football fast. He's recognized some personnel. He has recognized, for example, Casey Matthews, putting him in space, and he's made some plays. Derek Landry has made some plays. Jaquay Parker has played defensive tackle. The coverage down the field has been outstanding. Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on Saturday doing a great job against the Cowboys. It's just been the defense has really, just really played fast, aggressive defense.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, so make sure you watch on Sunday. Find a way. It's the last game of the season, buddy.
Yeah.
So.
And I also want to say Dallas sucks.
Thank you. And they always will. Thanks so much, Gary. I tell you, I sit here and I'm like, who the heck do I want to win?
Yep.
On thanks for the call. On Sunday, I don't think I want either team to win. I wish they didn't play the game. I think the Giants are it's weird. You see, I'm sour graping it here, I know, but Eagles are the best team in the NFC East, even though there's no playoffs. 5-1 record, or 4-1 record in the NFC East. What does it get you? Too slow a start for this team. what changes will be made, and how are you guys focused in? I'm going to kind of resist the big picture talk unless you bring it up. I'd like to talk about the Eagles and the Redskins. But I understand your interest. Brent Celek has just come alive and has been a big part of this offense. I love that. How many of you are focused on right now, right here and right now, or the big picture? And we're going to talk about it in the offseason, but your early thoughts here on what the Eagles should do and what this three-game winning streak has meant to you. Mark in Utah joins us. Hey, Mark.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Mark. Yep, Ken.
I just wanted to get your opinion on what, if changes, if any, would be made to the coordinators, both offensively and defensively.
Okay, thanks for the call, Mark. It's a good question. What changes will be made? I don't know. My sense is that, you know, Marty's scheme offensively has been a pretty brilliant scheme. I cannot eliminate a league-leading 8 or 9 turnovers in the red zone. My sense is that the team has bought into Juan as a defensive coordinator. Do you make a change there and start over? Or do you let him continue to grow and build confidence with this team? I don't know the answer. I don't really know the plan for the offseason. I'm giving you my opinions of what they might do. And I have seen this defense fly around in the last couple of games. And it's been exciting. Is that enough to keep the coaching staff status quo? I don't know that. I don't know that. But I do know that there's a lot to build on here. There's a lot to build on. And that excites me a lot. So Dallas was kind of a bittersweet performance, bittersweet experience. But a win's a win. The Eagles over the Cowboys, what, 54-14 this year? Is that right? That's amazing. I want to take you through my SpudCam experience. I didn't shoot SpudCam before the game, clearly, because I was watching the Giants and the Jets and I was writing about it, but I did shoot some after the game, give you a little flavor of what it was like on the field there at Cowboys Stadium. So we'll go to that. Andy Reid at 4 o'clock. More of your phone calls, 215-339-6709. It's Eagles Live. Let's take a look at SpudCam from Saturday's win over the Dallas Cowboys.
Had a good lead at that point. We couldn't let up. Just keep going and the game. Could have been. We were able to get in.
Yeah, it is. But everything happens for a reason. It's got to be something that's gonna come out of this. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I know it's not.
I can keep.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
What's up, Eagles fans? This is Trevor Laws. Just want to wish you guys a happy holiday season.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Fresh.
Fresh. Fresh.
We're fresh.
Fresh.
Exciting.
Exciting.
We're loving up your
inviting.
We'll make your season merry in a fresh new way.
We're fresh, fresh.
Enjoy a freshly made holiday with the freshest ingredients from Acme. It's the recipe for eating well.
We're fresh, fresh, fresh.
We're fresh.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro here. Eagles Live, the name of our show. We're live all week. Starting tomorrow, 11 to 1. It'll be Fan Appreciation Week. That's kind of the theme of this whole week for the Eagles. The Eagles season finale is on Sunday against the Redskins. Weird to say that. Just starting to kind of sink in. I felt that I wasn't going to get caught up into the playoff thing, and I really didn't. And I think the reason is because just too many things had to happen. We talked about it the last couple of weeks here. I'm very, very happy, however, that this team has shown improvement and that you see what they put together, especially defensively. You know, Jason Babin, terrific signing, 18 sacks. You bring in a player like Nnamdi Asawa, who's been terrific, terrific. You bring in Derek Landry. He has been a major productive player for the defense. There's still some holes there, though, and we'll see how the Eagles address those holes in the offseason. But I want to talk to you about them. But to have it end on Sunday is going to be a strange feeling, very bittersweet feeling. Want to get to 8-8. Listen, 8-8 to me, I don't know, the Eagles have had one losing season in the last 10 years. So that means a little something. It's not acceptable. It's not the goal. But this team, if they have a good offseason, I really believe they can get things going and be right there next year. Reggie in Los Angeles joins us. Hello, Reggie.
Hey, Dave. I can barely hear you, by the way.
Okay. What do you need to talk about, Reggie? What's up?
Oh, you know, I'm not as happy, maybe, I guess, as you are with the whole season, the way it turned out.
Well, I don't think I'm happy, Reggie.
I'm still kind of, I saw an article yesterday was written by Dillinger. I think he made some good points.
I don't care.
You don't care about what?
Everybody makes good points. If you think people are happy being 7-8, Reggie, we're not. But I'm encouraged that this team has shown so much turnaround and that I feel, having been around here for many, many years, that there are some pieces in place that are very exciting.
I think you make a good point, and there are, but I think you have to be honest with yourself. Well, there's a few things here, I guess, that concern me. I think an all fan should concern going forward. I mean, I don't think that.
Why is that good? Why don't you lay it out for me, Reggie?
Well, I don't think we've actually fixed. Well, I guess my biggest concern, truthfully, is Michael Vick. I mean, I'm not sure if he understands the importance of him staying healthy.
I think everybody, absolutely, they have to bring in a strong number two quarterback. Whether they believe that's Mike Kafka or not, you expect Vince Young to be gone. And so you better have somebody who you know in place can win you five straight games and a playoff game and a Super Bowl. Because you just don't know about Vic and his ability to stay healthy.
Well, I tell you, I think a lot of that goes back on Michael Vick. He has to go ahead and see, you know, he's got to change his game a little bit, you know.
I agree.
He knows, he has to understand actually how important it is to be, for us to win, he has to stay in the game.
Yeah,
you can't be taking these hits. It's stupid. Now, also, my concern actually is on the. I think overall, our defense actually is okay. I think it's getting better, but I still question the linebacker play overall.
Reggie, there is no doubt they need to make upgrades. There is no doubt. Nobody is suggesting that this team stays pat with what they have.
Why? Well, that's my concern. I guess I hope they look at something. I'm not sure about the O line. I guess it's okay. I'm not sure actually how.
The O line, whoa! The O line is outstanding.
Get beat though a few times.
Yeah, well, he should get beat a few times. Everybody gets beat. But you know, one thing I noticed in Dallas, I don't know if you watched the Dallas game, they really moved Jay Ratliff around and they moved him over Danny Watkins a lot. I think he did a pretty good job.
And let me ask.
I was encouraged,
question, Dave.
Yeah.
This would be my dream scenario. What if? Okay. That the Colts release Peyton Manning.
I don't think the Eagles, cap-wise, could make it happen.
Why not?
I don't think there's enough room. The cap doesn't go up significantly here.
But let me ask you a question. If you could get Peyton Manning, would you take him?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Think about it. You can take Peyton Manning, re-sign Deshaun Jackson. He becomes your Marvin Harrison. Okay. Beckham becomes your Reggie Wayne.
And then who are you playing at? Who's your defense? How are you getting the defense better?
Well, I mean, you bring back guys, you draft.
Okay.
And plus, with that offense, with Peyton Manning, I mean, if we got Peyton Manning, think about it, okay, on this team, we'd have actually a great offense that score a whole lot of points and a better defense than he had in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there are injury question marks with Peyton. With neck injuries scare me. I mean, we're talking dream scenario, Reggie's dream.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, look, I like Michael a lot. If you could guarantee me a full season out of Michael Vick, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, but you can't, and that's what scares me. I mean, I'm not sure he can do it. I mean, and that's my concern. I mean, he's still, you know, look at Drew Brees. He's only 6 feet tall. He never gets hurt. You notice that?
Yeah, he doesn't take hits.
Down that much. Yeah. I mean, Michael Vick is not.
Michael, like, well, I'll tell you what, Michael's gotten better here. I don't know what he did in the offseason, but he clearly came in here and was just not in sync. The batted down passes, the injury, the interceptions in the red zone. Michael's been different in the last few games, and I'm encouraged by that. Maybe a little deeper drop. I don't know, but he's been able to avoid the turnovers.
Do you see any way that Deshaun comes back? Or
yeah.
Media?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think that we burn that bridge?
No. You can franchise him, you can sign him to a long-term deal, and you can let him be a free agent. Those are your options.
Yeah, but what do you personally think is going to happen? I mean,
I really don't know. There's the parts of me say, yeah, he's coming back. I do think that. Deep down, I think he's coming back.
Okay, here's my last question, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
If you, for the draft next year,
yep.
Say the first, we get three picks in the first three rounds.
Yes.
Assuming no trade, I'm sorry, three picks, I guess the first two rounds, right? Sorry.
Three picks in the first
assuming
two rounds.
Assuming no trades, this or that, what do you draft in terms of positions, one, two, and three?
Better question is this, what are my needs on this team? I need a linebacker, middle linebacker, standout. I need a backup quarterback who can win me a Super Bowl. I need a kick returner who can bust it.
Yeah, but you're not going to draft those guys in the first three rounds. Maybe you will a...
Why not?
Well, you wouldn't draft any linebacker, yes, but you wouldn't draft a backup quarterback in the first two rounds.
Why not?
Maybe a starter, I guess.
But why wouldn't you? When Donovan McNabb was 31 years old, the Eagles drafted Kevin Cobb in the second round.
Well, that's true.
You have to draft a backup quarterback, in my opinion. Then I would probably then address the safety spots. And then this is my assumption that Deshaun comes back. If not, then wide receiver jumps up in the list. I don't think the Eagles are going to be tremendously active in free agency, but who knows? I mean, I look at it like if you can retain Deshaun, you have to figure out what you're going to do with Asante Samuel. I want to retain Evan Mathis. And then I want to address the defense primarily. If you keep Evan Mathis, your offensive line is fantastic. You probably need another running back. Okay.
Do you draft another defensive tackle early?
Well, you're getting Antonio Dixon back. I think you can keep Derek Landry. You've got Patterson. You've got Cullen Jenkins. Obviously, Trevor Laws has fallen out of favor here. I think you have enough to work with it. But I would never turn down. If I saw a stud defensive lineman, I would never turn that down. Never. Never, never, never. I don't think there's a ton of needs here, Reggie. I think, though, they can't miss on anything.
I mean, again, obviously we all want the team to go and win the big game, but I'm concerned that Michael Vick doesn't get it. He's just not going to become...
Well, he didn't take any hits.
Needs to be, which is more, you know...
Well, I think he's... I hope he's made strides.
Way faster. Not take hits. Slide.
Yeah, well...
He can do it. He's stubborn.
Right. There's no...
Across his entire team.
That's right. Reggie, thank you. I agree with you that Michael Vick is such a key player here. And I tell you, they're gonna address linebacker. Okay, they're not done. They're not dumb, and they're not done. And nobody's sitting around here going, hey, this is great. We're 7-8. Woo-hoo. Come on. We're gonna get into the Senior Bowl. We're going to do all that stuff. We'll cover it up here. We'll get our draft experts going. I know the coach, when he comes in here, won't talk about that. If they really want to beat the Redskins, and hey, you play to win the games. Nobody plays to lose. And a win over the Redskins gets you to 8-8, and it does give you some momentum going into the offseason. Not into next season, but into the offseason. And then you have to have a strong offseason to push that momentum forward into September. There is an injury question mark, and that's LeSean McCoy. Also, Kurt Coleman with a biceps injury. We'll get those updates from Andy Reid at 4 o'clock. Not sure if either one of those players will play on Sunday. If McCoy doesn't play, you're going to see a lot of Deion Lewis, which I like, and Ronnie Brown, which I like too. I think he's played pretty well. We did speak to McCoy after the game in Dallas. We'd like you to take a listen to it right now on the other side. More phone calls and Andy Reid coming up soon.
Have you, I mean, had a chance to reflect? I know it's just the season, not the season, but you just, the playoffs just ended for you guys. I mean, have you had a chance to think about the expectations you started with and you know, where things are going to end up for you guys?
No, I haven't. Still got a season to finish, you know, and we just got off the field, so I haven't had a chance to really reflect and think about all that type of stuff.
The way you guys are playing now, the last three games, you beat up three straight teams that were playing, all playing well. I mean, how much does it hurt that right now, the way you're playing, you guys are playing as well as anyone in the league, and you won't have a chance to keep playing after Sunday?
Yeah, it sucks. I guess anytime you're just playing this to play, I mean, it's not fun at all. Knowing the type of talent you have in this locker room and the coaching and a lot of players, so it's tough, man. But the biggest thing is guys will fight. You know, guys have pride, you know, and we're going to go out fighting. You know, so I expect to win this next game. You know, regroup for everything.
And what about the Russian title? I know you're focused on team goals, but that's still out there for you. I mean, what do you think about that going into last week?
I laid an egg today, so probably won't get to get it. But I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as we went out, I think I rushed pretty well this year. Yeah. Montgomery, he's probably smiling right now. Oh, that young kid ain't with the record. So, you know,
he's also smiling because he's going to the playoffs with the Ravens.
Right.
But you have you have more years to
yeah, definitely. I'll get it next year. Hopefully.
What's the ankle going to be okay for next week?
Can't talk about injuries.
Sean,
you can.
No, you can. Come on, beat the Cowboys twice.
Yeah.
And then you beat the Giants in the last game. How discouraging is it that one of those teams is going to be going to the playoffs and not you? What could have been?
Well, I mean, you know, they deserve to go. You know, they did you know, their job this year, winning games to get in the playoffs. So you can't knock them, you know. We might feel like we're better or we might beat them. But, you know, they're going. You know, they deserve to go.
I can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Freshly made holiday with the freshest ingredients from Acme. It's the recipe for eating well.
We're fresh. Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the community relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Everybody has to be happy at this point. I mean, the way we've been playing, you know, it's crazy. We went to Seattle and didn't look, you know, anything like we've looked. You know, and we played New England, didn't look anything but you know, I don't even know exactly what it is that happened, but, you know, guys just, we just started playing better, you know, as a team, you know, and it was just tough, you know, because if we'd have gotten in, well, we could have, you know, definitely done some stuff, but, you know, that's shoulda, woulda, coulda at this point.
I know you just came off the field here, but any sense of what your takeaway on this season is going to be? You had these expectations.
You're not going to meet those. You're finishing strong. I mean, what are you going to walk away with?
I mean, it's a positive what we're walking away with because, you know, it was tough. We had the expectations, but, you know, there was a lot that we had to overcome in order to meet those expectations that you don't really see, you know, from the outside. You just see it black and white and you think, well, this team should be 16-0. But, you know, there was going to be a lot of work that needed to happen before that something like that could happen. But, you know, you look towards next year and you look at the type of team that we can be, you know, if we bring our guys back and, you know, it should be good.
So you believe in the carryover effect? That how you finish directly translates to the next year?
Yeah, I do believe that. I mean, but then it also has to do with the continuity of, you know, what's coming back, you know, because they finished, you know, in the playoffs last year, and then you see what happened this year. So it all depends on what's coming back and how you can build off of that as opposed to continuing to start over and over.
Do you think these last 3 weeks kind of validate Andy being a head coach and Juan being a coordinator? Everybody's played hard these last few weeks after 4-8 start. And
yeah, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of talk about Coach Reed and him leaving, and he's got, but none of the players ever bought into that. You know, we just continue to get better, and he's one of those guys that no matter what's going on, he'll continue to get the guys to rally around him and play better, and that's what happened. So, absolutely.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you here inside our Xfinity studio. Andy Reid coming up at 4 p.m. as he meets the media and addresses some of the injury issues. LeSean McCoy's ankle, Kurt Coleman's biceps. We'll find out what's going on with this football team. You know, I'm reading some of the headlines here. Eagles lack perspective on lost season. Somebody wrote something about if the Eagles were only half as smart as they think they're. Do people think the Eagles are happy being 7-8? Like, are you fools who write this stuff? Really? You think people are sitting around and going, yay, we're 7-8. Yippee. What kind of stupid logic is that? Makes me sick. Really makes me sick. Hey, criticize the Eagles. Hey, team didn't get there this year. No doubt. Be disappointed. Because everybody here is. The season started with great, great, great expectations. Everybody was on board with the moves. Everyone was on board with the moves. And it didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? Well, that's one of the questions the Eagles have to answer in the offseason. They have to figure out why it did not work out. And then go and get it right. Herb in Philadelphia joins us. Hello, Herb.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm fine, Herb. How are you?
I'm starting to get over that we're out of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get over it for a long time. It hurts more when you start watching the playoff games and you realize, geez, could have been there, should have been there, but not there. And it's okay, not there.
It is, but you can't do anything about it.
What are you doing moving forward, Herb?
Well, I'm trying to think of some of the positives, and a couple of them really don't get talked about are the two line coaches.
Agreed.
Howard Munn has done an incredible job.
Agreed. I think this line is...
And I think Shady McCoy, he's got a piece of Shady McCoy's, you know, success. A piece, not that Shady's not terrific, but a piece of that goes to Howard Mudd.
I agree.
And look at the difference in Jason Babin the first time we had him and this time.
Oh, there's...
It's night and day.
Yeah.
So that's Washburn. And you just got to grow with it. I mean, it's disappointing as it is. You got to look at what you got. You got still got Babin. You got Asamoah on the team. You still got Cullen Jenkins. They're three pretty terrific players.
Yep.
And, you know, we look, there's going to be changes going forward.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't know. maybe Castillo had to grow. I don't know what it was. And, you know, they'll look at it and they'll have a better understanding than I. But we do have things to look forward to for next year. And also the Giants, also the Redskins game this year.
Well, listen, the first thing you see is there's not a whole lot of age on this team.
Right. The only age there really is, there's some age on the defensive line, on the starters.
Well, Jenkins has a little bit of age.
Right.
Babin, who didn't play a whole lot in most of his career. Trent Cole still got clearly some good years left. But I will tell you, there's a need for, I like the progress Phillip Hunt, for example, has made this year. Brandon Graham is such an incredibly key player in the offseason.
We just don't know. We don't know where he's at with his injury. We just don't know.
Well, it's the injury. I mean, he's going to have to come back here in the greatest shape of his life. Now, the new CBA takes some of the weeks away from the off season, and usually the off season program begins around March 19th.
Well, see, too much what they did, but we can't control that.
Yeah, so you usually get a good feel for young players and where they're at physically before the draft, and I hope the Eagles can. I mean, if Brandon Graham comes back here before the draft and he's in lousy shape, you better get a nice draft pick in here instead of Brandon Graham. Darrell Tapp, good rotational player, but I would never turn down a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
I mean, your front seven
still in the defensive line a little. If there's one there,
yeah,
you know,
to be a
maybe
great,
an offensive
great, unbelievable
lineman, maybe, you know, maybe
where though? At playing what, as a backup?
Well,
they're good.
They're pretty good. I was actually surprised with Evan Mathis. I don't know. If you get a defensive tackle and you move Perrimans back to guard, I don't know if – just the thought – now, I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but just the thought of him and Jason Peters and Kelsey side by side, that's awesome.
Kelsey's a fantastic – I mean, everybody – you guys all realize why he started instead of
– I do. He's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, he's – for a young guy.
Yeah.
He came in and took that job away.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he came in and took it away. He earned it.
Yep, yep.
And he's going to get better. And
yep.
And he's so mobile downfield, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
So I have things to be encouraged with to go along with the disappointment.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, you can't not be disappointed, but at least you got something to look forward to, and that's what you got to grab onto as a fan. That there's hope there. There's things you got to look at that are good, and with whatever changes, we can come back strong.
Yeah.
As
what do you want to see this weekend? You want to see young players playing?
Some. I mean, I don't know. Well, a lot of it is the injuries to Shady and to Kurt Coleman. Because I wouldn't mind seeing Jarrett playing a little bit. I wouldn't mind seeing Deion Lewis playing a little bit. I wouldn't mind seeing Curtis Marsh in there a little bit.
Yeah, you might see. Depending on Coleman's injury, which I don't think is going to be great news,
yeah, you might see
Jarrett starting, which is, you know, hey, look, you want to find out about the kid.
I mean, I don't want to see the guy hurt, but
right.
Yeah, I do want to see if he can play a little bit. Now, he's supposed to be a hitter, and we haven't had a chance. I mean, you know, have to see him develop.
Right.
But he's that tough guy.
Right.
In safety.
Yep.
So we'll see. But I am encouraged, Dave. As hard as it was for this season, at least I have encouragement for next, and that's what I got to look for as a fan.
Yes.
I mean, it broke my heart this season. But
I know. I know the disappointment, and I know the frustration and the anger when this team was considered so, and rightly so, to have such high expectations.
You should see my Christmas presents. I got Eagles cups. I got Eagles earbuds. I got Eagles blankets. My whole house is gifts from me, from Eagles.
Herb, would you like a gift of two tickets to Sunday's game?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Do you know how to contact me, Herb?
I can send you. You want me to send you a PM?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got it, Herb. Man, happy holidays to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's a big week here with the Eagles and big fan appreciation. Herb's been a great caller and a great part of the show for many, many years. Dave Spadaro with you here. In about 20 minutes, Andy Reid comes along and addresses. Now, there's going to be a torrent of questions about the big picture, and he's just not going to give the answers you want to hear. I'm telling you, the focus is so much on this game. Everybody's trying to really, and you have to do it. You have to keep your your moment, and this is the moment right here. The moment is beating the Washington Redskins. I'm looking down at some statistics for the Eagles. Brent Celek leads the team with 56 catches. Macklin, 55. DeSean Jackson, 54. Avant, 48. McCoy, 48. Too many interceptions. This team has thrown 24 interceptions. There's the Washington Redskins. Great player there, London Fletcher. Trying to keep his team focused for one more time. They're 5-10. Vic has only completed 59.6% of his passes. That's a passing percentage that's got to go up. It's got to go up. It's got to be in the 63-64 range. 13 interceptions. That's got to go down. He's only been sacked 21 times. Eagles have only been sacked 30 times this year. So the offensive line, great, great growth with Howard Mudd at the control. So I don't know. Who do you keep? Who do you want to let go? All of this we're going to talk about here. 215-339-6709. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we inch closer to Andy Reid's time at the podium. He will address the media. Quiet day. The player's off until Wednesday after Christmas. We landed early in the morning, coming back from Dallas on Christmas morning. So players getting a couple days to enjoy their holidays. We're coming right back here on Eagles Live.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Forty years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Celek wasn't one of these can't-miss guys. He wasn't a guy that was a combine warrior. He wasn't a guy that people looked at before the draft and said, I like him in a uniform. All Brent Celek was, a football player in Cincinnati. You could throw him the ball anywhere, he's going to catch it.
Third and goal. With that back again. He's looking. He guns it. Complete. Celek touchdown! Leaping reception by the tight end. 18-yard strike.
If you remember the game, 2008 against the Seahawks. Brent Celek's coming out hard. Six catches, 131 yards. It was Celek everywhere. And it was that game where you went, huh, maybe he is really a starting tight end in this league. When you talk about a tight end and you talk about someone that could, is he going to step up in games? Can you count on him in big games? Well, let's go to the NFC Championship game. Arizona. Donovan McNabb under duress, needing to find options. A young receiving core. Who does he go to over the middle? Brent Celek.
McNabb's back. Looking, firing, complete. He's got Celek at the 10. Breaks a tackle at the 5. Goes in for the touchdown. Brent Celek, 31 yards. And this game is getting very tight.
Brent Celek caught 2 touchdowns in that game. And I remember thinking after that game, the Eagles have something here. He's a player. You're Brent Celek, and you look around and you go, here's DeSean Jackson. There's Jeremy Maclin. There's Jason Avant. You know, there's LeSean McCoy. Earlier, it was Brian Westbrook. They had these players, these incredible skilled players. Where do I fit in? But he found a seam. Much like he does in the middle of the field, Brent Celek found a seam on this team.
Vic takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He floats it. Complete. Good. Running with the football is Celek. At the 20. At the 15. 10, 5. Touchdown! Brent Celek!
So let's look at last year. What's Brent Celek's biggest issue? Not a great blocker. Last year, you saw the shape of the offensive line. Young, dinged up, beat up. So that means Brent Celek has to take from his game, which is catch the football and help block. What I love about his attitude is that he wanted to improve his blocking. And we saw last year him adapt his game and become a blocker. The thing about Brent Celek is that on the field, he's a worry. He's a football player. We have seen him go out and be tough on the field and be nasty and block and do what you have to do on the field. Off the field, you're not going to find a nicer guy. What's not to like? Eagle fans love Brent Celek. Why? Why do you think? Because he's a guy that plays for team. That's who he is.
Celek, 56 catches, 725 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's been really good of late. And is it a coincidence, do you think, that the Eagles' offense has been as productive with Celek? Celek, the last, here we go. 9 passes in the first 5 games. Eagles were 1-4. 47 passes in the last 10 games. Eagles are 6-4. 4.7 catches per game in the last 10 games of the year. That's the way you use your tight ends, people. Let's go to Jesse in Jersey. Jesse, happy holidays. Yo, Jess.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Great stuff.
How you doing, brother?
All right.
Good.
Good. My question is, which one of the Eagles players under Andy Reid's era that drafted first or second round went on to get a top 10 contract? Because I believe the problem with the Eagles is not the draft.
Okay. Well, I know the trade. Well, Trey Thomas before. Let's see. Have to look. Let me look up the drafts. Boy, they signed a bunch of guys here, though. And Westbrook wasn't a first-round pick. Lito Shepard got a second contract. Wasn't a top guy. Donovan was clearly a, right?
Donovan was the only one.
Donovan was one of them. Shady McCoy will be one of them.
Sean McCoy should be one. I mean, Sean Jackson should be one, but.
Let's see. Let's talk about that. I would like to keep DeSean Jackson, okay? Would love for it to happen. Do you think he should be paid in the top 5 receivers in the NFL?
I pay him like David Hester. I think he's that type of guy.
Like who?
David Hester. I mean, Hester from Chicago Bears.
But what if DeSean doesn't want that? What if he wants to be and will only accept the very highest salary?
Personally, I would rather have a number one receiver instead of – I would like him to go out and get a number one receiver, a bigger guy. You know, I think that's probably the problem in the red zone. You know, those guys could be – especially when they get in the playoffs, those guys, all the receivers can be shut down.
I think,
you know, if you want to upgrade, go let him go. Unfortunately, you get nothing for him because you didn't make the deal this year, but, you know.
So, but you just said to me you want him to get paid the big money, so now you're saying let him go and get another receiver.
No, I would. Well, then you came back with how about if he won't accept it? So you know, got to like plan both ways.
Okay. Would you? When I and I'm sure they evaluate all this. What I know here, Jesse, is that in free agency potentially, you're looking at DeSean Jackson on the market. You're looking at potentially Dwayne Bowe on the market, and potentially you're looking at Reggie Wayne on the market too, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some players out there. I don't think you go into the season saying, all right, we're going to let DeSean Jackson go and we're going to start Jeremy Maclin and Riley Cooper or Jeremy Maclin and Jason Avance, because I don't think you have enough speed there, although Macklin's very fast.
Well, I think the problem is with the Eagles, they don't upgrade. I mean, if you can find a player that's better than DeSean Jackson, then you let him go. If you can't, I mean, we like Brian Dawkins would be an example.
Okay,
I wonder how good that rookie safety would have been if he could have had two was under Brian Dawkins.
Well,
I think they do enough of that.
Yeah, I will agree that about the safety position because I don't think they've upgraded since then. But I it's hard for me to say that they don't upgrade. I mean, they upgraded cornerback this year. They upgraded defensive end this year. They upgraded defensive tackle this year. They upgraded the offensive line this year.
Well, what I meant by that was that they don't leave, you know, the older players around to teach the younger players, you know, and give them a chance. And, you know, they still, you know, just like the safety, he's still right in the fire as a rookie. He's just not that good to be doing it. Clay Matthews is another example this year. You went into the season thinking he could be a starting middle linebacker.
Yeah, you were hopeful. You were hopeful.
You know, so, you know, and if you look at the history of the Eagles, it's every year, that's why we never put our finger on, it's something.
Yeah.
And usually we get exploited in the playoffs. Whatever position we decide not to address or just think that, you know, we could put anybody in there, teams are good enough to explore us, and they do it every year to us. And that's why we never won a Super Bowl.
Well, hey, what would your three areas of improvement, what you would like the Eagles to address here in the offseason?
Number one is bringing a veteran defensive coordinator. I love Zimmer from Chicago. I mean, from Cincinnati.
Okay.
I love him. And I think if you do that, then if you bring in a real, you know, I wanted Herm Edwards just to, you know, this year instead of Castillo, I wanted Herm Edwards. I just think that if they can make a move like that, then you can justify bringing Andy Reid back. But without that, it's just, you know.
Okay. What else?
Obviously, as far as personnel goes, you got your linebacker position. I agree with somebody said earlier today, you need to probably go out and get a veteran. Safety and, you know, and one problem
I'm not
with
sure
our,
you get, I'm not sure you need to get,
is that you got young guys trying to tell experienced guys what to do.
I'm not sure you get veteran safety. I'm a big, big Nate Allen fan. I think Kurt Coleman has come a long way this year. Now, I need to see what Jaquan Jarrett can do. You don't use a second-round pick on somebody and then just cast him aside. Okay, but I would agree with the linebackers. They need to be better at linebackers. No doubt. You still with me, Jesse? You gone?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay.
I'm still with
I personally would like I need to feel very secure at quarterback, and I need a kick returner. I need a big time kick returner. And I mean I'm talking four or five positions. Coaching staff, will there be changes? I don't know. I will tell you that the defense has made really, really impressive strides. I like what Juan's doing from a scheme standpoint, and it looks like the players have bought in. The results say that. But, I mean, I'm not going to ignore what's happened the first 12 games of the year, but I'm also not going to ignore what's happening in the last four games of the year. So, I don't know.
All right. Thanks a lot. Great call.
Thanks.
A happy holidays.
Hey, thank you. You too, Jesse. Thanks so much. And these are, I respect all of your opinions. I welcome all of your opinions. I don't have the answer. And I know that there are many, many different opinions here on what the Eagles should do. But I cannot ignore what I've seen here in various sections of this team, and I cannot ignore how I feel right now about this team and about how this building feels. It's a whole lot better to win games than it is to lose games. If you take a look at the NFC East standings, it's painful to see that. Giants are awful. Cowboys suck. Redskins, I'm saying nothing about them because we're playing them this weekend. And the Eagles blew it first 8 games of the year, first 12 games of the year. Blew it, blew it, blew it, blew it, blew it, blew it. And now you pay the price. Now you pay the price. You know, Jose Leo Hansen had a pretty nice game on Saturday playing in the slot. He is signed for next year. Boy, the cornerback, we don't even talk about the cornerback situation. What are you going to do there? Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was terrific on Saturday. Where does he fit in? Well, those are another series of questions to be answered. We caught up with Jose after the game on Saturday.
I feel like we really paid attention to detail, and you know, when your back's against the wall, you know, any team in the league is hard to beat. So it's probably what happened.
When Romo went out, did you kind of get a sense that, you know, this was there for the taking? I mean, you know, they didn't have as much to play for today, but and that's a potent team you pretty much shut down.
Oh, it's a good team, man. A lot of talent over there, but you know, without their quarterback, I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's one of the best in the league, so. It's probably tough to play without them, even though they have all those receivers and, you know, Witten and everybody. I mean, Romo probably got all the reps all week, you know, and the other backup probably just did scout team. You never know how it worked out. So
I think a lot of teams are happy that you guys are not in the playoffs. You saw the late run the Packers had to win it last year.
Yeah, they don't want, nobody wants to play us right now. We got everything clicking right now, and you know, Mike is doing his thing on offense, running the team, and. You know, this is what we wanted to do out of the gate, but, you know, it didn't work out, and here we are now.
May I have your attention, please? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Because I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. So will the real Shady please stand up and put one of those fingers on each hand up and be proud to be out of your mind and out of control. And one more time, loud as you can. How does it go? I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. Makes his way up the stairs. His final, well, that's not true. One more after this week. Here he is, Andy Reid meeting the media.
All right, let's go over the injuries here. Kurt Coleman has a bicep strain. So, like I told you after the game, he'll have an MRI tomorrow. Trevor Laws was held out of the game because of his knee tendonitis. Brian Roll has a slight ankle sprain. And then Asante has a hamstring strain. Really, everybody, McCoy has a slight ankle sprain, but should be fine. I know there was something put out there that that he wasn't going to play or whatever, but that's not the case. He it was more towards how many yards he thought he needed to break Wilbert Montgomery's record. So, as far as the game goes, every win's a good win in the National Football League. So we're happy about the win, but yet the obvious is we're disappointed about the outcome. It's as far as the playoffs go, I take full responsibility for that. That's something as a head football coach that if we could have pulled out another win or two, we put ourselves in a position where we'd be playing for the championship this week. But we didn't do that. And again, I've got to do a better job in that area. The thing we are, again, the thing I am happy about is the effort that the guys put out. Obviously, the results the last three games, and we do have another game left against Washington, and the obvious there is that it's an NFC East opponent, rival, if nothing else, by the proximity of the two locations and the relationships that the players have with one another. I know that the guys will play hard, and it'll be a good football game. Appreciated the fan support that we had at the game, and I was asked after the game, if that game really meant something. It was obvious to the Eagle fans down there that the game did mean something. By their reaction, it was they're very happy for the football team as we came off the field. As far as this game coming up and the play by the for the play time for the players. The players right now are going to play, and the starters will play. And like I said, we're in this thing to play the best football we possibly can this year, this weekend. So that's the approach we'll take. Time's yours.
Are you a believer in the carryover of momentum from one year to the next?
Well, I think there's a listen, I've said that every year is different, so I don't want to contradict that, but I do think that there is a carryover with the players that are coming back. I think you've seen the camaraderie, the football team gel over the last few weeks, and I think you can carry that part over through the offseason and let that drive you into the workouts and also give you a slight picture of what you can possibly be with good hard work and the following year.
Do you think not making the playoffs is explainable given some of the situations that have come up during the season or do you think it's really a serious shortcoming?
Listen, Les, I'll never sit up here and make an excuse for things. That's not how I operate, and so I'm not going to start now. I'll take full responsibility for that. I think we all expected players and coaches to have a better record than we have today, and so that's my responsibility. And to say anything less, I'd be wrong saying that.
In the beginning of the season, there was a lot of talk about even from the internally about the Super Bowl. And it seems like since then there's been a little bit more talk about the youth on the team and, you know, being happier with the late rally. And so how do you explain kind of the downshift of expectations as the season went on?
Well, I don't know about all the Super Bowl talk. I mean, that's not every year we shoot for that. And it was no different this year. So the reality is I've been asked a lot of questions about the youth of the team, so I'm telling you that I think the guys have gotten better, the young players have gotten better. Not an excuse at all. That's not what it is. It's it's a reality that the players they're getting better, and I think we're coaching better, we're playing better, and thus we've been winning more games. We've been a better football team.
Straight years now that you will go without winning a playoff game after winning, I guess, 10 from 2000 through 2008. The overall disappointment in this whole stretch of the team kind of trying to find itself and moving on past Donovan and that whole, you know, Westbrook and now Trey and Runyon and that group and kind of moving, you know, in a new direction. I mean, 3 years is something you guys have never done before.
Well, listen, like I said, if you're shooting for the Super Bowl every year and you don't win a playoff game, then that's a disappointment. I know it is to our fans, our coaches, and our players. So I understand that. The organization, we're all in this thing together. We are all pulling to win games. That's what we do. And the end result for every team, I think, in this league is to win the Super Bowl. So that part's a disappointment. However, you get older as a team, and so you put new players in. And I've appreciated the growth that's taken place and some of the things I've seen. I've got to do a better job at getting our guys to finish a game, win the game, so on. And these are things we can learn from, and I think we have. We've done. Those are important things that we can take get into the off season and some of the things that we've accomplished down the stretcher.
7 years since your Super Bowl trip, and you know, obviously the season will end without you winning one. Do you sense the clock is ticking on the chances that you may have here to finally win a Super Bowl?
I really haven't. I don't look at that. I mean, that's not what it, when you're striving to win every game and win a Super Bowl every year, then you don't look at all that stuff. So that's just you focus in on what you can do and try to get better every week. And so that's my focus.
I realize that there's still one game left. You know, it's not probably the proper time to look back, but when you had a couple of days here, do you think back to any of those games, and all you needed was one of them, do you think back to any of those games and what could have been, or do you kind of just, at this point, try to ignore that?
Well, at this point, you want to finish the season, and then you go back and you do your self-scout and evaluation, and you end up looking back at things. Right now, I think you'd make a mistake doing that. I think you wait till you finish up the season. And when the players are in here Wednesday, I'm asking them to do the same thing. There's nothing that's going to help you with the past. It's on to the Washington Redskins, and you better focus in. I've explained that to the coaches, and it's important that we do that.
Would you prefer the dominant emotion of the players at the end of the year to be upset about the blown opportunity or to be searching for positives down the stretch that they might have seen?
Well, listen, I would take it with the glass half full and say you wanted to build on the positives and take that into your off season and take it into this week and continue to get better. And that's something that you can control. You can't control what happened in the past. You can learn from it and move forward. And I think we've done that in some areas as coaches and players. So it's important that you focus in on what you've got with the Washington Redskins.
Game essentially meaningless as far as the playoffs go. Did you take in any consideration the chances of resting perhaps Michael and you know him obviously meaning so much to next season?
Yeah, listen, this is what we do as coaches, is what we do, what the players do as players. This is their profession. So to say something's meaningless, I don't think that's right. I think it's an opportunity to play another game against a good football team and make yourself better as a team and as an individual, and that's what you do.
Are you committed to playing all these guys all four quarters, or do you think you'll mix and match that, like with Mike and some of the other quarterbacks?
Yeah, you can't not prepare to. If you're going to play, you got to prepare to play four quarters. That's what you have to do. So that's what we're going to do.
Andy, I know you talked to Jeff Lurie a lot. You guys communicate a lot. Has he assured you will be back next year? Is that a conversation that has happened, will happen, or how does that work?
Listen, we haven't done that right now. I mean, Jeffrey's a competitive guy and wants to win every game, and I'm a competitive guy. I want to win every game, and that's kind of where our focus is. And so we haven't talked about anything other than that, and that's where our focus is right now.
Do you have any doubt that you'll be back?
Listen, I haven't even thought about that. That's not, my mind doesn't go in those directions. I control what I control, and that's getting better as a football team. And so that's what we're going to do and do it throughout this week.
Have you thought about whether you want to be back or not?
Les, I wouldn't know what to do without having these press conferences with you.
You talk in terms of next year. You talk a lot about, you know, the younger guy, the young linebackers next year and the young safeties next. I mean, you talk in those terms. I mean, it just seems like you kind of expect to be here.
Listen, I do talk about the young guys getting better. I mean, that's what I talk about. I'm proud of them for doing that, and not not losing confidence in themselves or, and continuing to progress. That's a, and maybe that's a coach talk. I mean, that's what I do. So I haven't gone the other areas. That's not what I've done. I'm here to teach, and that's what I'm doing. And so I'm stating that these guys are getting better. The younger guys have gotten better, made progress, and I'm proud of them for that.
Potential injuries go. I'm sure you saw what happened with Adrian Peterson. Does that at least make you pause as far as what your plan would be for LeSean or anybody, any of your top guns going into the game?
Now listen, my heart goes out to that kid because he's a great kid and a great football player, and that's a. I'm not sure what exactly the injury was, other than it looked like his knee got hurt. So I don't know what the results have been, but. I don't wish that on any player. I know the guys want to play, and so they risk that every opportunity they have to play. That's part of this game. And if you go in thinking about that and questioning whether you're a coach or a player, then you're going to hesitate. And if you hesitate in this game, you got problems. So I'm not worried about it any more than I would be at another time. The guys play, they play.
And even if you want to win this game, is this also a good evaluation game?
Well, what's ended up happening is that most of the guys have played in the games. So we've had a chance to look at a lot of the young players and veteran players that are in rotational positions. So most of them we have good film on, maybe with the exception of the third quarterback spot. So everybody else we've had a pretty good look at.
Andy, your defense almost pitched a shutout Saturday night. It's three really good games in a row out of that unit. Can you say, if you're going to be back next year, that Juan will obviously be part of your staff?
You guys are in a different place than I'm at right now. I've got another game left to coach and get ready for, and my mind doesn't go in any of those places. You guys know what I think of Juan. I mean, I know you have to ask that question, but we are focused completely on the Washington Redskins.
Sean said that he would like it if he had his choice to be back in Philadelphia next season. He only has one game remaining under contract. I mean, is that feeling reciprocated by you and the Eagles?
Well, listen, I the last how many games, he's done a heck of a job. So he's playing very good football right now. Proud of him for that.
You have the Bulls coming out tomorrow. Conventional wisdom says Babin, Shady McCoy, and Jason Peters. Anybody else that you think deserves it other than those three guys?
Oh, heck, I can't get into all that. But the three that you named are deserving. I'm sure we have some other ones. We've got some guys that are good players.
All right. All right, that is head coach Andy Reid. We will welcome him in studio here in just a moment on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're coming back. Eagles Live just around the corner continues. Dave Spadaro here. Andy Reid in studio in just a moment. Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
One of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Put
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We welcome you into our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro joined by head coach Andy Reid. Coach, a bittersweet feeling after the win in Dallas. Let's focus here on the here and now, the football team, and what you accomplished in Dallas. Came out and scored on the first drive again, and it really, really makes a difference with this football team, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I would tell you that throughout the NFL, the teams that score first or at least get off to a decent start, with the exception of the Jets in that last game. I know you're going to come back with me on that.
Of course, that, everything's hard-hitting right here.
That's right. good things normally happen. You'd like to start fast. You'd like to also finish fast. And so we were able to do that for the most part.
Has the process of putting that game plan together in 13 seasons, do you change the process at all? I mean, it's really amazing when you put it together and it works. It's like, wow. It's like putting a puzzle together before you even have the pieces in place.
Well, listen, I tell you, Marty does a great job with it. And offensively, and Juan's done a nice job with it defensively. So, it starts with those guys and the way they go about game planning for the teams that you play, and then the things they dial up early to show the opponent.
Selleck averaging 4.7 catches his last 10 games. First five games, not as involved in the offense. Team is winning. Selleck's catching more passes. Is it a coincidence here?
Well, listen, that's probably my fault on that, just for not getting them involved in the game plan more early. And Marty's done this. Marty's put him in positions here to make plays, and he can do that. He's great after the catch. He's so big and strong and physical that he tempo setter there, and tough to bring down and get you positive yards.
We all write and talk about it's because he was helping the offensive line more. Is that accurate early on that he was more involved as a blocker as the line was coming together?
Well, he's still doing that. Mm-hmm. He's still doing that. But at the same time, we've added a few things for him. And listen, Mike trusts him and as a receiver and knows where he's going to be. And Brent knows how to work in space, and he's good against man coverage likewise. And he's done a very nice job over with the calls that we've given him there.
How would you evaluate the progress made by the O-line? A lot of new faces here. Coming into the season, youth up there, a new coach. How's it coming along 15 games later?
Well, the more they play together, the better they get. And you've seen that down the stretch here. We were banged up in some spots there early. The guy I'm proudest of maybe is Todd Harriman for working through some of the injuries, and then at the same time learning a new position, moving to the opposite side. That's a tough thing to do. Jason Peters is probably in the best year he's had since he's been in the National Football League. I mean, he's absolutely a force in this league. And then the young guys inside, along with Mathis at the left guard spot, have improved every week. And you know, you got to give credit to Howard Mudd for the nice job that he's done.
Yeah, has Howard been everything that you thought he'd be?
Yeah, no, Howard, listen, I've known Howard for a lot of years, and he's done a heck of a job there.
Nobody's asked questions about Danny Watkins, and I think that's a good thing. Kind of break down as an evaluator how he's done.
Every week, Danny's gotten better. He's a very strong, physical player, and so you're seeing that now. And you see this progression take place where the guys get in there doing a lot of thinking, and you don't get 100% of their athletic ability to show up every week as they get to know the offense better and feel more comfortable with the new techniques, in his case, the new side, the new position from tackle to guard. As you see him go every week here, he gets that much better every week, and I'm proud of him for working through that. It can be tough when you're a number one pick. Things aren't going well for you. You're starting, you take a step back, and then you have to come back in there, and he's handled that like a champ.
It's interesting, Andy, when you're in a press conference setting, it's all – big picture stuff and very critical stuff. And can you kind of explain to people how you think? And coaches are really locked in on the here and now, aren't they?
Well, you have to be. I mean, listen, this is what coaches do for a living. This is what players do for a living. So while everybody's looking towards the offseason, the players are looking towards the Washington Redskins. While everybody's talking about evaluation, the players are still playing their tail off. Coaches are still coaching. So you got to get a game plan ready against a good football team. And you want to finish strong as a player, as a coach, and as a team. So that's where your focus goes. And there's no time to take your eyes off of that right now. That's what the off season's for. So you break everything down. Well, the media, and listen, that's their job. They're asking about evaluations and what's going to take place. With coaches, with players, everything. That's not where we're at. We're working to be successful in that next game and to win the next game. That's how you go about your business.
And I got to tell you, I understand resting starters when you have a playoff game the next week, but if you didn't start your best players on Sunday, I would be offended. I want to win. It feels a whole heck of a lot better here after a win.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you'd be offended. Well, the players would be offended.
Yeah.
That's almost a slap in the face to these guys. These guys want to play. This is what they do. It's like telling a writer, okay, you don't write today. We're gonna rest you today. Well, that's not what you do. Well, maybe it is.
They just say, where's the sandwiches, and then they'll go back and kick up their feet. you've never met a player who didn't want to play in a game, right? I mean, this is their show. This is their showtime. You know?
Yeah. Well, listen, you're playing at home.
Yeah.
It's and you've got great fans, and you're in your stadium, and that excitement, electricity, it gets a Washington Redskins. Look at our football team coming out against Dallas. Did the players know before they went out that the Jets had lost the game and the Giants had won? Absolutely, they knew that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell by the crowd noise, and then you go out for warm-ups, you see the score, they've got it flashed up. So you knew what was going on, and as a player and a coach, but that didn't slow them up. And so as a head coach, you're proud of that moment. And the thing I could tell you that I mentioned in the press conference was that it was great to see our fans when we were going through the tunnel and the bar grill that they set up for you that you've got to go through. The Eagle fans that were around that area were phenomenal. They were happy. That was a great Christmas present. And seeing that excitement and joy made it all worth it for the players and the coaches.
Probably a difficult question for you to answer, but what do you think the mentality of an Eagles fan is? How should they be feeling right now about this team?
Well, I've always said they kind of think like the coaches and players think. I think they're happy for that moment. It's the Dallas Cowboys, so they're happy for that moment. But I think overall they're disappointed that they didn't have an opportunity with this football team to take it into the playoffs and challenge some of these teams. And so there's that disappointment. But for the immediate reaction, it's kind of a catch-22. For that immediate reaction, it's, hey, great job against the Cowboys. Doggone it. Wish we were in the playoffs and rolling.
Yeah. Hey, last one. You came into the season with a lot of youth and no more youth than at the kicking positions with Chaz Henry as the punter and Alex as the field goal kicker and kickoff guy. And Alex has made 14 straight field goals. And Chaz is, the numbers just keep growing every week. And let's talk about those guys and what you see from them now and then maybe kind of in the future here.
Well, yeah, listen, I think Chaz is doing a nice job with the punting. He's also the holder, so he's got a dual role there. I think he's done very well with both those. I think both of them have gotten stronger. Both Alex and Chaz have gotten stronger as the year's gone on. And normally with rookies, you see it kind of go the opposite way. Their bodies get tired and worn down and so on, even with kickers and punters. So it's been good to see the progress that they've made. You want to make sure that they maintain the focus here. This is a new area for a lot of players, but in particular for the young guys playing through this right now. All of a sudden, you don't have a shot at the playoffs. Are you mentally tough enough to push yourself through and keep the excellence where you had it and even become better than what you were?
Yeah, good stuff. Andy Reid, thanks for joining us in our Xfinity studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers Cromartie. I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We're back. Sorry about that, guys. A little frozen TriCaster. That's one of our New Year's resolutions to fix that. We've gotten a lot better for those of you who've been with us throughout the years here. Brandon Graham is next up here. Obviously, a disappointing year for Graham after a good start to his rookie season. Suffers the knee injury in Dallas last December. And then is, when he's been activated here this year, not productive at all with this Eagles defense, getting a few reps here and there. Meanwhile, we see players, Manny of Miami brought up Earl Thomas in Seattle makes Pro Bowl. Jason Pierre-Paul makes the Pro Bowl. What's that, Ryan? We're good? Jason Pierre-Paul with the Giants makes the Pro Bowl. So we are still waiting for Graham to emerge. Will he emerge in 2012? As the reporters gathered around him in the locker room today, clearly that was the big question.
Working hard in practice and, you know, doing what I got to do.
How frustrating has this year been for you?
No, it hasn't really been frustrating. It's been a learning experience. I've been, you know, learning a lot about, you know, people, you know, and, you know, just how they react and, you know, what I need to get done for next year. And, you know, it's going to be a nice experience. It's did nothing but, you know, humble me and, you know, made me want to work a little harder.
But you've heard a lot of the negative criticism that has come your way this year, haven't
you? Oh, yeah. You know, it's all fun to hear. But, you know, I know next year, I mean, I'm going to put it in the bank, put all my money in the bank in the offseason, you know, and it's going to show next year.
Do you think maybe you put your expectations a little too high coming off the injury and come back and what you're able to do this year?
No, I mean, I wouldn't do it no other way because, you know, I'm going in rehabbing, working hard, knowing that, you know, I'm going to come back from this, you know, and I got to keep my spirits high, so I'm always expect a lot from myself.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you, after you had the surgery last year, did they tell you, like, what it would be at this point, when everything, you know, when it would be is kind of 100%?
I mean, I knew it was going to take almost a whole year for me to really start feeling real good, you know, feeling back to normal, but, you know, I just really wanted to get out there because of the team we had, and, you know, it was just, you don't want to, you're the first round guy, you want to get out there and you want to show what you're made of, but sometimes it does take patience, and that's all I had to do, you know, just be patient because I know what I can do, and I know next year it'll be a good thing. No more excuses. Got to get it done.
In some ways, have you felt helpless? In some ways?
Nope. No, I feel good, man. I ain't worried about it. You know, I know I'm going to just keep my head high, man, and just get ready for next year. You know, I hope we go ahead, knock these Redskins off so we can end on a good note, you know, and just get ready for next year. Thanks, Brandon.
No doubt there is a lot riding on 2012 for Brandon Graham. Let's hope he has a great offseason, comes back in tip-top shape, and delivers on the promise that the Eagles so clearly believe he has. You don't trade up in the first round of the draft to get a player unless you love him. And the Eagles love Brandon Graham. The injury definitely set him back. Hey, you got to account for that. Takes more, longer than a year. If you have players coming off major injuries, guys, don't count on them the next year. Just don't. Don't count on them to be ready to go. And the Eagles knew that going in. That's why they went out and got Jason Babin. That's why they signed Phillip Hunt. Both of those moves, very good moves by the Eagles front office. Let's go to Duke in Doylestown, who joins us. Hi, Duke.
David, how are you?
Happy New Year.
I don't know if it's my end or your end. It's probably my end. I can barely hear you. But let me just make a couple comments. A little more than 4 months ago today, we were up at Lehigh.
Yeah.
And we were talking outside the tent with one of our favorite people, Jim Cramer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Cramer personally is distraught over what's happened this year. But you know what? You learn from a season, you move on. I'm no less of a fan today than I was 4 months ago. I mean, you know, being honest, I'm disappointed, but everybody is.
Yeah.
Inside and outside the organization. I'm not calling for anyone's head. I never do that and won't start to do that because those who know a lot more than me about, you know, what's happened on the field and behind the scenes are going to make, I think, the appropriate decisions.
Okay, so what do you do to fix it, Duke?
David, I'd say we say this every year, but I think in this offseason, instead of spraying buckshot, and I'm not a hunter, I don't kill anything other than what I accidentally run over on the road, but instead of spraying buckshot and going after seven or eight names, I think you could kind of go with that single bullet theory. And boy, as much as I would have loved to have seen Steven Tulloch this past season at middle linebacker, he only signed a one-year deal. He's going to be a free agent. I don't go for the big names. I don't think our salary cap.
I'm not sold on Steven.
That anyway.
Yeah, I understand the middle linebacker. I've heard the name Tulloch, but I don't think the Lions have done anything. And I have to watch him. And if I watch the playoffs, I guess I'll watch the Lions. But their defense hasn't been anything to write home. Yeah, they win games 38-35.
Yeah, Dave. You know what it is? I guess listening to and you know, look, I'm not giving anyone any you know more cred than anyone else. But listening to the Baldingers and guys like that that review the, you know, quote-unquote
yeah.
game tape.
Yeah.
Just because a defense of 11 people isn't having a great year, that's not going to tell me that, you know,
sure.
all 11 people can't play.
Sure, no question. I reference Brian often. I think he does a great job. If he's saying that Tulloch is playing well, then he's seen a lot more than me.
A couple names. I mean, look how players can thrive outside, you know, of other organizations if in the right place. Joe Mays is a better linebacker in Denver than he showed here. Chris Gokong is better, obviously, in that defense, that 3-4, than he was here. I don't want to get into Dawkins. That's still a sore point with me. But
Dawkins will never play again, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there are some players out there, but the reality here is I know we've got the Arizona 2-pick. We've got most, if not all, of our own picks.
And Tampa Bay's 4.
They're going to be late. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I think we might have an extra Seattle pick somewhere.
Tampa Bay's four,
yeah,
which will be a high.
David,
yeah.
you can't miss, and I'm not going to
bury,
you know, JPP over Graham. I mean, I wouldn't have married my first wife if I had been able to see into a crystal ball, but we can't miss this year, and I'd have no problem this year, David, because I think we're just a couple players away of using the resources we have to trade up.
It's interesting, you know, Duke. Let's go back to the draft or to free agency. I don't think the Eagles are signing 5 players in free agency.
No,
1-2 maybe.
Yep.
The draft is where you're going to have to make your hay, and the Eagles are going to have to draft better than they've drafted.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
And David, I'll kind of end it with this. When I look at a Green Bay and a New Orleans, and I look at the absolute core and who they have under contract the next couple years. Green Bay is not losing or doesn't have 5 or 6 critical players in the next year or two who are going to be free agents, nor does New Orleans. We can't look at the next season and say, what do we need to do, you know, to grab an extra game or two to win the NFCs. The reality
I
is,
agree.
Even though other teams have done it, I think for the next year or two, the winner of the NFC East is probably a 3-4 seed, which means, you know, you don't get a bye, you have a home game, and then you probably go on the road and have to beat out both New Orleans in a loud dome and Green Bay.
You never know. I mean, I hear you.
When I look at Green Bay, even if they fall off 2 or 3 games, you're still going to need to win 12 to get home field advantage over them. So I think they look to do that this year with the three corners and the get up fast and force the team to throw, other team to throw. But the reality is, you know, although Pittsburgh and the Giants and others have shown it, a couple moves, and I think moving up to a, let's say, four games, 12-4, 13-3, we can all go back and look at four or five games that would have landed us easily this year at 12-4, 13-3. So I think it's doable, but I think you've got to look at not how we get to 10-6 and win a division.
Oh, absolutely.
But how do we get to 12-4 and 13-3?
I'll tell you, though, Duke, here's one way. This NFC East, down and staying down.
No doubt. But, David, this year we're down with them.
Oh, I agree. Well, no. Not in the division. Dominant in the division.
Yep.
It's the other games, the games that, as we looked at them, Duke, you're like, where's the intensity? Where is the urgency? And it wasn't there. And the Eagles paid the price.
No, and David, I really think, and I said last thing, prior comment, but let me ask you this question. You mentioned with the new CBA, which I don't like, but I don't have to play in the league. With the new CBA, that players aren't going to come together until April.
Right.
Does that preclude a group of players that after two and a half months of sitting around and fishing and golfing from coming in, using the facility, and kind of doing their own thing?
No, they're not allowed to be at the facility.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm glad there was football this year, but boy, oh boy, did owners and management kind of bend over when it comes to that stuff.
Well, I mean, there's a trade-off. I think the financial state of the league, when you consider the television revenue, the new deals that were just struck, I mean, it's unprecedented. It was a great deal for the players, and it was a great deal for the owners. They've got a 10-year deal, 10-year contract. It's amazing.
Well, David, look, if I don't see you down,
training camp,
the game on Sunday, which I will be at.
Great.
I wish you and yours a
thank you. You
happy
too.
New Year. We'll talk to you in the offseason.
Give me a prediction for Sunday.
Semi-hollow, but I'll still be there yelling, hopefully singing for touchdowns, not field goals. I'm going to go with the Birds 24, the Redskins 13.
Duke, thank you so much.
Happy New Year, Dave.
You too, my friend. Thank you. All right, let's send it over now to Evan Mathis. Key figure, left guard, signed as a one-year player. And when we were talking all those days about all these great players and all these big names coming into Philadelphia in free agency, nobody really talked a lot about Evan Mathis. Turns out he played a huge role as this offensive line came together. And the outlook is very bright for the O-line. What about for Mathis? What does the future hold? Let's go in the locker room and find out.
The main thing for me is there's so many areas you can improve as a player, and for an offensive lineman, it comes down to mainly technique. I've learned a lot of technique under Howard's system. I work really, really hard in the offseason to maintain my best physical shape. So, I mean, I've always been focused on improving and not staying the same or not taking a step back, you know, and I'm going to continue to do that.
What is your contract situation? Are you coming back next year?
Well, I'm a free agent right now.
Like to be back, obviously.
Yeah, I'd love to be here. I think I'm a good fit here. So we'll see how that unfolds later, though.
Has your agent had any discussions with the Eagles at this point?
No, we're waiting until the offseason. Trying to focus on the season at hand first.
What was it like coming here? I don't know if you really expected to end up being a starter and really starting the whole year. Did you expect to be able to?
That was my goal. You know, I did everything I could to make it happen. And fortunately, the situation, you know, it fit.
You expect a nice thank you from Shady's for the offensive line, helping get the role?
Yeah, he can take us to McDonald's or something.
I have a play next to Jason, another pro bowler. What's it been like playing next to him?
He's a great player. It's great when you can work with someone like that who's really athletic. I don't have to do any extra help and have to catch up and wait for him to catch up with me on certain blocks. Just watching him play on the field and on film, he does some amazing things.
I've heard people say that he might be the best lineman in football, regardless of position. Can you see that?
I can see that, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very valid statement.
what is it that makes him like that good or that much better than?
Well, you look at where he started. He came in the league as a free agent tight end. He bounced, you know, played defense a little bit, and then he once he found when they moved him to the offensive line, he trusted it, and he never stopped working to get better. And even now, after he's made Pro Bowls and you know he's making a lot of money, he still doesn't stop working to get better. And that's one thing that's great about him. He has as much talent as you can have, but with that drive to keep getting better, that's what makes him dangerous, because he's going to get the most out of his natural ability.
Thanks, man. How about playing alongside?
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Thick gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown. A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Enjoy a freshly made holiday with the freshest ingredients from Acme. It's the recipe for eating well.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
What shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
All right, guys, we're having a party in here. If you only knew what happens off the air here. Dave Spitter with you. Eagles Nightly tonight, 7 o'clock. Eagles Live returns tomorrow, 11 o'clock. More great prizes to give away. And again, make sure you tune in and log in, PhiladelphiaEagles.com/fans, and register to win. We've got our Fan Appreciation Week sweepstakes. We're giving away more than 100 prizes to you, the greatest fans in the NFL this week. It's Fan Appreciation Week from the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks for joining me, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Everybody working. Now challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for it.